whatever his party affiliations may be, the President of the United States, in addressing the youth of the country, even when speaking to the younger citizens of his own party, should speak as President of the whole people. It is true that the presidency carries with it, for the time being, the leadership of a political party as well. But the presidency carries with it a far higher obligation than this: the duty of analyzing and setting forth national needs and ideals which transcend and cut across all lines of party affiliation. Therefore, what I am about to say to you, members of the Young Democratic Clubs, is precisely, word for word, what I would say were I addressing a convention of the youth of the Republican Party. A man of my generation comes to the councils of the younger warriors in a very different spirit from that in which the older men addressed the youth of my time. Party or professional leaders who talked to us 25 or 30 years ago almost inevitably spoke in a mood of achievement and of exaltation. They addressed us with the air of those who had won the secret of success for themselves and of permanence of achievement for their country for all generations to come. They assumed that there was a guarantee of final accomplishment for the people of this country, and that the grim specter of insecurity and want among the masses would never haunt this land of plenty, as it had widely visited other portions of the globe. And so the elders of that day used to tell us, in effect, that the job of youth was merely to copy them, and thereby to preserve the great things that they had won for us. I have no desire to underestimate the achievements of the past. We have no right to speak slightingly of the heritage, spiritual and material, that comes down to us. There are lessons that it teaches that we abandon only at our own peril. Hold fast to that which is permanently true is still a counsel of wisdom. While my elders were talking to me about the perfection of America, I did not know then of the lack of opportunity, the lack of education, the lack of many of the essential needs of civilization, that all these existed among millions of our people who lived not alone in the slums of the great cities, and in the forgotten corners existed even under the very noses of those who had the advantages and the power of government in those days. I say from my heart that no man of my generation has any business to address youth unless he comes to that task not in a spirit of exaltation, but in a spirit of humility. I cannot expect you of a newer generation to believe me of an older generation if I do not frankly acknowledge that had the generation that brought you into the world been wiser and more provident and more unselfish, you would have been saved from needless difficult problems and needless pain and suffering. We may not have failed you in good intentions, but we have certainly not been adequate in the results. Therefore, your task, my friends, is not only to maintain the best in your heritage, but to labor to lift from the shoulders of the American people some of the burdens that the mistakes of a past generation have placed there. There was a time when the formula for success in life was the simple admonition to have a stout heart and willing hands. A great new country lay open. When life became hard in one place, it was necessary only to move on to another. But circumstances have changed all that. Today we can no longer escape into virgin territory. We must master our environment. The youth of this generation finds that the old frontier is occupied, but that science and invention and economic evolution have opened up a new frontier. A frontier not based on geography, but on the resourcefulness of the men and women applied to the old frontier. The cruel suffering of the recent depression has taught all of us unforgettable lessons. We have been compelled by stark necessity to unlearn the too comfortable superstition that the American soil was mystically blessed with every kind of immunity to grave economic maladjustments, and that the American spirit of individualism, all alone and unhelped by the cooperative efforts of government, could withstand and repel every form of economic disarrangement or crisis. The severity of the recent depression, towards which we had been heading for a whole generation, has taught us that no economic or social class in the community is so richly endowed, so independent of the general community, that it can safeguard its own security, let alone assure security for the general community. The very objectives of young people have changed. In the older days, a great financial fortune was too often the goal. To rule through wealth, or to rule through the power of wealth, fired our imagination. That was the dream of the golden ladder, each individual for himself. But it is my firm belief that the newer generation of America has a different dream. You place emphasis on sufficiency of life rather than on a plethora of riches. You think of the security of yourself and your family that will give you good health, good food, good education, good working conditions, and the opportunity for normal recreation and occasional travel. Your advancement, you hope, is along a broad highway on which you are not traveling alone, on which you are accompanied by thousands of your fellow men and women who are advancing with you. Let me emphasize that serious as have been the errors of unrestrained individualism, I do not believe in abandoning the system of individual enterprise. The free characterized American development in the past can be maintained if we recognize the fact that the individual system of our day calls for the collaboration of all of us to provide, at the least, security for all of us. Those words, freedom and opportunity, do not mean a license to climb upwards by pushing other people down. Any paternalistic system that tries to provide for security for everyone from above only calls for an impossible task and a regimentation utterly uncongenial to the spirit of our people. But government cooperation to help make the system of free enterprise work, to provide that minimum security without which the competitive system cannot function, to restrain the kind of individual action which in the past has been harmful to the community, that kind of government cooperation is entirely consistent with the best tradition of America. I, for one, am willing to place my trust in the youth of America. If they demand action as well as preachments, I should be ashamed to chill their enthusiasm with the dire prophecy that to change is to destroy. I am unwilling to sneer at the vision of youth merely because vision is sometimes mistaken. But vision does not belong only to the young. There are millions of older people who have vision, just as there are some younger men and younger women who are ready to put a weary, selfish, or greedy hand upon the clock of progress and turn it back. We who seek to go forward must ever guard ourselves against a danger which history teaches. More than ever, we cherish the elective form of democratic government. But progress under it can easily be retarded by disagreements that relate to method and relate to detail rather than to the broad objectives upon which we are agreed. It is as if all of us were united in the pursuit of a common goal, but that each and every one of us were marching along a separate road of our own. If we insist on choosing different roads, most of us will not reach our common destination. The reason that forces of reaction so often defeat the forces of progress is that the Tories of this world are agreed and united in standing still on the same old spot, and therefore never run the danger of getting lost on divergent trails. One might remark in passing that one form of standing still on the same spot consists in agreeing to condemn all progress and letting it go at that. Therefore, to the American youth of all parties, I submit a message of confidence. Unite and challenge. Rules are not necessarily sacred. Principles are. The methods of the old order are not, as some would have you believe, above the challenge of youth. Let us carry on the good that the past has given us. The best of that good is the spirit of America. And the spirit of America is the spirit of inquiry, of readjustment, of improvement. Above all, a spirit in which youth can find the fulfillment of its ideals. It is for the new generation to participate in the decisions and to give strength and spirit and continuity to our government and to our national life.